This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 118 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, alongside me, Johnny Stofkel.
What's up, guys? What's up, Tristan? 118. We got Sydney fit expert, wellness advocate, Greg Stark.
Yeah, man. He's a Sydney-based health expert. Just brought out his new book, Sweat Equity.
Yeah, man. We did this interview in person. Got to sit down with Greg, and in the headspace of where he comes from, what his intent is, and where he's at with this current project, with his book and his brand.
Yeah, local Sydney boy. He's been on the actual coaching staff for professional teams like the South Sydney Rabbitohs. So he's got great insights. Really, now he's specializing kind of in that corporate space, in that corporate client space. A couple of the big banks actually employ him to do a lot of wellness work. So it just goes to speak on the type of both quality and what he brings to the actual table. He's a great speaker.
Yeah, young coaches out there, the industry that we're in, this fitness industry, can be inundated with, you know, who do I follow? What should I do? Greg's a good example of if you're an educated, integrity, ethical-based coach and you want to take your business, brand, learn how to do things the right way, he's a good guy to learn from.
Yeah, for those young coaches out there, forget about these Instagram guys with a million people following. Greg doesn't have a million people following, but let me tell you, everything that comes out of his mouth is valuable.
He's helping people. He's coaching people. There's a difference between an Instagram coach and somebody who's actually in the trenches, like yourself, like myself, and like Starkey. You know, in the trenches, helping people, programming, inspiring people, educating, developing other coaches, writing books. He's a dude, we're going to learn a lot from, and you guys listening home will definitely have some key points.
Yeah, but for people at home, it's not just for personal trends and things like that. Greg's going to bring a lot of knowledge on how to look after yourself.
Yeah.
Look after yourself in terms of having family, fitting work-life balance. He's a great expert in that sort of area, so we've got a lot to talk about in this episode. Guys, before we bring Greg on, we just want to say a big thank you to everyone out there listening and supporting, subscribing over via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. The amount of emails, text messages from Facebook we've been getting is unreal. So thank you.
Yeah, we couldn't thank you guys enough. That's why we do this. It's the number one reason why we got into this game is to tell stories, share stories, impact and inspire, and also grow together. I mean, you figure, what is episode 118?
Yeah, man.
And obviously, to get to 118, we had to go to 117, 116, started with 1.
Yeah, we had to get six.
Anyone listening at home, man, that's been here since 1, mad love. Anybody who just jumped on board, mad love. Yeah, just continue to support it, and we'll keep bringing it.
Definitely. Just before Greg comes on, we just want to bring you to attention. One of our friends in the gym, Harley, he's a personal trainer here with me and Johnny down at Fitness First George Street in Sydney. He's just going through a bit of a rough trot. He's been going through battling brain cancer for about 2.5 years now. So he's quite the fighter, inspiration for us here in the locker room. At the moment, he can't work at all. The last 2 or 3 months, he virtually can't work at all. So we're just doing just a bit of a shout out to Harley. Hopefully he's listening. So big shout out to you, brother. But We've also got a link in our show notes to his GoFundMe campaign, which, if you can contribute from $1 to $50, whatever you want to do, because we really need to help this guy out because he's an inspiration around our gym.
Yeah, guys, it's in the show notes, the link, the GoFundMe. It's also, if you go to my Facebook business page, Johnny Stofko, you'll see a video that Tristan and I have put up there. You'll also find the post and the link. We'd love for you to support the cause. Like Tristan said, every dollar counts, man. Also, share the post. Share it to your network. You never know who's reading or listening. The guy is, you know, like you said, man, he can't work. You know, we're not working. As coaches in this business model, we are writing our own checks. So it's not like we're not getting paid by a big company. So when Harley can't work and do his sessions and run his business, he's not making money. And so he really needs help to get these treatments and, you know, just keep giving him an opportunity to fight and to live. So definitely, we really appreciate you.
And guys, we know that we all come from different walks of life, but it's all about community, you know what I mean? And for us, we want to build a community of podcast people that listen and follow us.
Support. And
support each other. Exactly.
That's huge.
When one of us are down, when the chips are down, it's about bringing the other person up because we're all going to go through it. So this is Johnny and I's way of just helping Harley out.
Yeah, he doesn't even know about this, guys. Harley doesn't even know that we put this thing there and we're doing it. Like Tristan said, he's a mate of ours, he's a bloke of ours, he's a colleague of ours, and he's suffering right now. So if you guys want to help, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, so thank you for any contribution. And like I said, it will be in the show notes. And any questions, send us an email at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Okay, guys, let's move on to our guest. And he's ready to go. So he's Greg Stark. Our special guest is Greg Stark. Greg is a Sydney-based health expert specializing in corporate executives and is also the founder of Better Being. He's a regular in the media across Sky Business, Men's Health, and CEO Magazine. Greg has recently published his book, Sweat Equity, a much-needed assessment on how time-poor people can achieve and maintain their fitness. We welcome Greg Stark. Greg, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to being here.
Yeah, Greg, man, we really appreciate you spending the time stopping by the Vision Board. I want to really start the show off with Sweat Equity, your latest book. I'm pretty sure it was just published in February. Could you share with our audience a little bit about Sweat Equity and what inspired you to put this into creation?
I guess Sweat Equity started with just bringing everything together that we've been doing over a number of years. So it was, you know, client stories, all the research that we were doing, and the way that we coach and teach our clients. So originally looking at it, whether I was going to self-publish or go with a publisher, I found a really great publisher and they helped put the finishing touches to bring it all together. But it's been, the process of itself has been really rewarding in collecting your thoughts and packaging it all up into one book to help people live happier and healthier lives, basically.
Yeah, how long was it on the back burner for you to act the idea? How many years was it out there?
I think it's always been part of the process. I remember really early on, when I first became a personal trainer, someone said to me that you'd be limited in the amount of people you can influence in a one-to-one environment. So you have to look at ways to you know, get your message out there and influence more people. And a book is something that's always appealed to me. And probably 3 or 4 years ago, the timing felt right. I felt like we'd been doing enough work, collected enough stories, been doing lots of work in the media in terms of doing lots of writing. Started to pull it together and started dealing with publishers from there.
Greg, on the cover it says peak performance for the leaders of today and tomorrow. Does the book hold the stance of the importance and the value of having a fitness and lifestyle, like healthy lifestyle regime on point to correlate with success in the financial world?
Yeah, I guess the main thing I wanted people to take out of their book is the realization that your health does more than how you look down at the beach. It's about how you think, feel, and perform every day. And so by investing our time and our energy into our health, you know, we're going to be better at work. We're going to be better at home. We're going to be better in social circumstances because we're being at our best each and every day. So it's about shedding light on those sort of things. And when people see the value that your health brings into those other areas of life, then it becomes a long-term part of their life and their rituals. rather than just focusing on the superficial, you know, do I have a six pack when I go down to the beach?
Yeah, and who would you say best suits the audience? Who's the target audience?
So I guess when I was writing the book, it was a case of what really helped me was to think about that person who I wanted to read the book and what position they were in, you know, in life. And I guess when I was writing the book, I was thinking about the person who had been spending their whole life climbing the corporate ladder, had put so much time and energy into work, and, you know, had reached a point where they realized it probably wasn't fulfilling them as much as what it probably should. You know, as a client once said to me, to that feeling of that they'd been climbing the corporate ladder their whole life only to get to the top of the ladder and realize they'd been on the wrong ladder. So it was a case of someone looking at a place where they can reset and restart and using their health to do that, and come across my book and start reading it to make those changes and go from there. So they're the main sort of person that I had in mind when I wrote it. But mums read it. I've had, you know, young mums read it. I've had other people. There's something in there for everyone as well. It's not exclusively. These are principles that are for general health and well-being. It's not just exclusively for those who work the corporate world.
Let's talk about the process of getting the book on paper, going through editors, publishers, that whole system. Was this something that happened easy for you? Was it something that you had to overcome a lot of adversity? If you don't mind, share with us that whole process from when you had the idea, pitched it, into today since it's launched.
Yeah, it's been, like I said, the journey and actually writing the book itself has been really interesting and got me thinking, and, you know, dealing with just about every publisher in Australia, and it's gone full circle. The publisher I ended up with was the first publisher I went to, and when I went to them, it wasn't ready, and they, you know, said that to me. But having worked with, hearing lots of different no's for different reasons, it helped me refine it. But I guess I also didn't want to change it too much that it lost the message of what I was trying to get across. And, you know, rather than, you know, 7-minute abs, which is what, you know, people want to hear about, I wanted it to be true to what we believe, what we teach, what we know that works. And yeah, so ended up at the publisher I have now, Simon & Schuster, and they've been amazing to deal with, every part of their team, and they got it right away. They didn't want to change it. They understood it. They were living and breathing it themselves, and it's been a very enjoyable process working with them.
Yeah. Let's break it down a little bit. Let's bring it into some everyday examples for the people out there, especially maybe the people working the 9-to-5, the corporates. A lot of those are your clients, and you've had a fair bit of experience in that field. In terms of where you start when you get a new client, can you just break down that for everyone out there?
Yeah, I guess with the book itself, it's broken into four main sections, being mindset, movement, nutrition, recovery.
Yep.
Obviously, starting as a personal trainer, movement is what we're seen to specialize in. But if we're going to get people at their peak health, we need to have an understanding of everything. So the first thing that we address with clients is look at their mindset. And it's about reconnecting them to that purpose of their health and what would happen to the rest of their life if they lost their health. And, you know, people that are working that 9-to-5 job and see work as a priority, which is great. There is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious in your career. But it's a case of how can you do things outside of that to sustain you and make you perform better. So I guess we ask a lot of questions around that aspect of their health and get them connected back to the purpose of their health.
Okay.
Greg, is this something you've been through personally? Is there ever a time, maybe over the short term or last 5 years, that you've overcome or maybe been injured or lost your way on the fitness realm, and you're able to now gauge the importance of having it in your life to not having it in your life?
Yeah, I guess I've been quite lucky. Yeah, even as a kid growing up, with, you know, my dad's always been heavily involved in sport and activity, and mum's been very, you know, food and health conscious. So I was brought up in that environment. But I think you have challenges along the way, and often we don't reassess our health until we face those challenges. So for me, when I was quite young, I write about it in the book, I got diagnosed with epilepsy and had a series of seizures, and was basically given the option of, you know, focus on your health and get plenty of rest and eat well and exercise, and that will help in managing that,
yeah,
or go on to medication. And so that's always something that I've had to be conscious of, and that's helped prioritize my health for me in that sense. And then also, I guess, injuries along the way, playing a lot of competitive sport, From the age of 14 through to about 21, I never played a full season of any sport. I was just getting injured all the time. So that I guess, fueled my desire to learn more about the human body and led me down this path to understand more about myself and how I can make myself work better. And then also now, how do we apply that with clients? So having those challenges along the way help make us stronger and also help us realign what our purposes are.
Yeah, do you mind if we touch a bit on the epilepsy and just ask a few questions about that? Because for me, it's an open canvas. I haven't met someone that's epileptic before. So I just had a couple of quick questions. Yeah. In terms of what you had to change from what you were doing to the activity that you brought in, was there anything specific in terms of both food and nutrition that you had to bring in?
Yeah, I guess there was nothing really specific. Again, they did say to me at the time that there's different triggers and epilepsy is still one of those ones that's very common, but we don't know a lot about.
Is it neurological?
Yeah, it's a neurological genetic disorder, and it's basically the synapses of the brain misfiring, and that causes a seizure. And there's different types of seizures that you can have. And with that, it's a case of there's different triggers and things that can lower your threshold for that. So for me, one of the things was that I was light sensitive. So growing up, I couldn't play the PlayStation, or if I did, I had to wear sunglasses and those sort of things. So that was the main thing. But also lack of sleep, alcohol, all those sort of things play a role. So I guess as I've got older, it's the late nights and alcohol that played a role and managing those sort of things. But I'm quite fortunate in terms of this condition hasn't stopped me from doing anything in life. And there's kids out there that have epilepsy that are having, 20, 30 seizures a day.
Wow.
You know, that for them and their families, it's a very tough condition to deal with, but they're amazing in terms of the research that they're doing. I was lucky enough to spend a bit of time down at Westmead Children's Hospital and what they're able to do. They're looking at removing different parts of the brain that are triggering the seizures and all these sort of things. It is phenomenal out there. But I've been very lucky. I haven't had to. It hasn't changed or inhibited me in anything in life, really.
Did you share with us maybe something about your personality that, or something that you've learned about yourself having lived with epilepsy and going through this and still pushing forward and being successful where you are today?
Yeah, I guess I've been very lucky. Even when I was quite young and originally got diagnosed, that the specialist I had was an absolute industry leader in that field, and he could have quite easily put me on medication and I could have stayed on medication for my whole life and never had a seizure again. Or I could also have seizures and also be on medication. So there was no guarantees there. But I think probably the best thing for me, and this might be throughout my life, is that he gave me the ability to choose. He said, you can do the right things and you'll be fine the majority of the time. There might be occasions that things will happen, or you do the wrong things, you have more seizures, you're not going to be able to drive a car, you're going to have to go through all these things, medication and all that. So I guess given that ultimatum and that power of knowing that I had a choice in this scenario, empowered me in making that decision to prioritize my health along the way.
Are there any triggers when one does come along? Can you sense something might be about to happen?
A little bit. It's not a definite sign that something's coming on, but there's little signs and things that might be, but quite often it will be a case of I will blank out, go into full convulsion, next thing I've woken up in a hospital somewhere. As a 12-year-old kid, that was a bit full on, and it was undiagnosed for a period of time there as well. It is one of those things that you don't really know when it's going to happen, you just trying to equip yourself and everyone else around you to best deal with it.
Yeah, it seems it's evident from the book. One of the sections you talk about mindset. I want to share a little bit about that. And you've been in the industry over 10 years. When was the moment that you started? Maybe it was from jump. Maybe it was from the first day. But you really started believing in yourself personally with your skill set and your intent that you can make a splash, you can make an impact, you can move people in this industry and beyond.
Yeah, I think when I originally went in the industry, I was looking at working with athletes, and you know, I had a great experience working with the teams and athletes that I worked with over that time. And at the same time, I was running my personal training business, and what I soon realized was the joy that you get out of helping people transform their lives. And I still remember one of the very first clients that I had, after her first session, started crying and said to me that, you know, it's the first time that she had slept through the night.
Oh, wow.
And all she had changed is she started exercising. And I guess you start to feel the power of what you can achieve, and people are very grateful for the input that you put into to helping them. That just motivates and sparks you. And I've got hundreds of stories over the years where people have faced all different types of things, from cystic fibrosis to people who have basically been told they'll never walk again to... Mm. You know, people that have had heart attacks and all sorts and even in their personal lives that have lost all confidence in themselves. That when you see someone change and transform simply by focusing on their health and you having a little bit of a role to play in that, there's nothing more rewarding than being part of that process.
Yeah. Where was the first gym that you worked at?
It was a little gym in the Hills District, above an ice skating rink there called Focus. And, that's where I learned, and I was very fortunate to be surrounded by some really great people there that have taught me a lot. And I guess they really opened up my mind to knowing that there is so much opportunity out there and you've got to just dedicate and focus yourself to what you're doing. And that you can help many people, and it's just a case of creating ways and finding ways to do that.
Greg, we were talking off record about experts and gurus and what it means to help people and being a good coach and being a good trainer. Putting you on the spot here, what would you share with our fans in your head how you think what being a great coach is?
Yeah, I love that question. It's a really good question, and the thing that I instill into our trainers, and I think it's not even just as far as saying a good coach, I think a good leader is what I say is that it's not about the answers you give, but the questions that you ask. That quite often, you know, people are coming to us for advice, and you can be telling them you need to sleep more, you need to exercise more, you need to eat better. They know all these things. But it's a case of framing questions to people so that they then take ownership over those things and they create their own path. Because when we create our own path, we're more likely to stick at it than when someone, you know, writes us the best nutrition plan and exercise program. It's very different to when your mindset and what your thought process is your own.
Mm-hmm.
With all our trainers, we really focus on holding back on that instinct to just tell people what to do, but to actually frame questions and lead people in a direction where they're coming to that conclusion themselves.
Yeah. Did you have any early mentors that really shaped this sort of personality trait of yours?
I guess one of my first mentors, Mum, and she's a teacher.
What's up, Mum?
Mum's a teacher, so I guess that ability to coach and mentor and those sort of things that, you know, she's deeply passionate about what she does. So I guess there's those correlations to the trainers that I've worked with over the years and doing that, to the books that I've read. I think one of the best books that I get all our trainers to read is How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Dale Carnegie.
And it's ancient wisdom, right? That book was written 150 years ago, and the principles and philosophies in that are still as relevant today as they ever were. And it is all about being authentic and leading with other people in mind. So I guess with my book as well, that's what I wanted to create, rather than here's the latest fad. It's what are the principles that we know that have lasted the test of time. And you know, there's ancient wisdom philosophers in there that I've drawn into different sections of the book as well.
I feel one of the really important fact of succeeding and growing in your own business and brand is being identifying with what our strengths are. You know, some of the younger guys that we work with, we have them sit down and we have them list what their strengths are, and a lot of them will put 5, 6, 7. Some can't pick one.
Yeah.
But by the end of that process, we have them choose one.
Yeah.
And then that's what we have them stick to and relate to in terms of growing their business and brand. If you were to do that task with Tristan and I right now, and you've limited it to just one, what would your biggest strength be?
Yeah, I guess my biggest strength is being able to connect with people, I think, is in being authentic is something that I always strive to be. And so that works really well for me in terms of the career path that I've chosen. That unless I'm able to connect with my clients and be authentic towards them, they're not going to engage in what we're trying to achieve either. So I guess that's probably my number one strength. And I guess along that as well is that's what we do with our team as well, is that we get them playing towards their strengths, but set up things that cover their weaknesses as well.
And then moving forward, yesterday we spoke a lot about, you know, Better Being. It's expanding. Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane.
Yeah.
You know, you've had to take a little bit of a step away from just personal training. Now you're a business owner, mentoring younger people. What I'm getting at now is, what do you love about that? What do you love about that mentoring side?
Yeah, I think it's the same things of working with a client, and you see someone, you know, you work on something with someone and you see them implement it and grow and become better themselves. Mm. And I guess the whole reason I went into that aspect of business comes back to that same thing that was raised with me when I first went in the industry, is that I'll be limited in how many people I can influence in a one-on-one scenario. So if I can then work with a team of trainers who are going out and influencing more people and changing the lives of more people, in some ways it's quite selfish, but you know, that's rewarding, you know, for me. And I love getting emails from clients saying how great the trainer is and what they've been able to achieve and help them do that. That growth is the reward.
So we're sitting in this room with your book in front of us. Your picture, you know, the picture of yourself running is on the front cover. As honest as you can be, what is your vision? How big does the book get? Do you see yourself going on a book tour? Do you want to pack out an arena? Like, what do you see the potential of the book, and what type of success do you want for this?
I do look a bit like the Terminator on the front of that book. I think
it's an awesome book. I like it.
I think it's the glare of the sun in my eyes. It's, yeah, I guess, it's another great question. When I wrote the book and I got the first copy delivered to me, my wife said to me, you don't seem that you know, happy about it. You don't see, and I put in so much time and energy into it, and you know, and it was great. It was great to see it in a physical copy, but that wasn't the end point for me. And she then said to me, when will you deem the book to be successful? And that got me thinking. And I said, if I can get one email from someone saying, thank you for writing that book, I've changed my life or my health from that, then job done. You know, my book has achieved what I wanted to do, just one. And I've been fortunate. It's been out for 4 weeks and I've already got, you know, half a dozen emails from people saying that to me. So as far as I'm concerned, the book's served its purpose and achieved what it wanted it to do. I guess now it's just a case of continuing to help as many more people as I can through that doesn't necessarily involve me being in a room next to them as they do it.
Yeah. You mentioned your wife and you mentioned your mom.
Yeah.
Are they your main accountability partners?
That's a great question. I guess everything that I do is driven towards family, and relationships is something that I hold really high up in my values. And I guess it's something that I never lose sight of, that I often think that I could be doing more in my career and in work, but at what cost and what sacrifice. And I think that for me personally, I don't want to lose that. And yeah, that's what makes me happy. And as I mentioned to you guys before as well, I've got a little son now, and that's even next level in terms of the happiness that he brings. It doesn't matter what's going on. As soon as I come home and pick him up, it's a whole new world. And I guess the people and relationships in my life are something that I hold in high esteem. So it's a case of having all those things feed into that purpose as well.
Yeah, nice.
What sort of reference point do you have, or inspirations? You mentioned earlier going through the struggles of epilepsy, and off record we were talking about your buddy that, you know, I want you to bring up, the pro rugby player who suffers from cystic fibrosis. And are those real life experiences that you've lived through help mold your inspiration for continually wanting to grow your brand, writing a book, coming on the show, and all your other ventures that you're doing? Or is it more an intrinsic drive that's already in you that is just being expressed through your work?
I guess I think I find myself a little bit boring, and my clients is what inspires me. I think I've taken more from their stories, and again, they make up a lot of the book in regards to that, and I find it more powerful to share their stories, and people can relate to what they've gone through and how they've been able to change and get from point A to point B. And yeah, my good friend Nathan, who's a professional rugby player, he's the only person with cystic fibrosis to play a contact sport professionally.
Wow.
You know, when he was born, his parents were told, don't expect him to live past the age of 15. And this guy's gone on to represent his country in rugby. And, you know, when I met him at 15 years old, all he wanted to do was to play rugby for his country. And that was his sole focus and purpose. And he's worked harder than anyone else and yeah, has achieved that goal and proven himself at the highest level. And I look at him and just go, it's amazing on what he's had to face. And he defies science in what he's been able to achieve.
Yeah, one of my friends pointed out to him, who is he playing for now? Is it Rebels?
He was with the Force, and he's in the middle of contracts at the moment. So he may look at going over to Europe or somewhere like that. But he's just got married and enjoying his time being married and having a bit of time away from rugby. But yeah, he's phenomenal. And I guess he's one person that I draw inspiration from all the time.
Yeah, nice. Just thinking on the professional sports, you know, you were the South Sydney Rabbitohs for a couple of years. Can you share a couple of good stories from there and some of the players that you work with?
Working with athletes is always an interesting one. You know, that in terms of their health and fitness, they're at the top level, and you know, you're looking for the one percenters in terms of how you can get advantage over your opposition. And I was fortunate enough to be there during the first year that Russell Crowe took over the club. So you know, there was the Armani suits and the documentaries and
wow.
You know,
what year was this for our Americans out there?
2008, I think it was 2008.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a big ethos in the club that we wanted to return it back to its former glory days. And it was the first time that they made the finals in something like 40 years. So, and has since gone on to win a premiership and continue that being the high performers and high achievers in the NRL. So to be in that environment and I guess working now in other high performers and working how to manage that mindset was the first exposure to people at that level. Mm. And I learned a lot. And I guess the greatest challenge with working with people like that is not in trying to push them harder. These people have gotten to where they've got to because they're driven and they're willing to go above and beyond. But how do you hold them back and get them to recover and slow down when they need to slow down, and when they're injured to let them recover and not force them back so early that they're out for the whole season? So going through all those and working with different players there, you know, we had David Kidwell who did his ACL that season, and just the level of focus and determination that those guys have is impressive.
We have a lot of young coaches listening to the show, a lot of, you know, fitness professionals. Take yourself back to, you know, maybe those first couple weeks, first couple months, even the first year of you stepping into the industry and basically figuring, you know, navigating those waters on your own. What to do? A lot of failures have to happen for successes to show up later. Any advice to young coaches now that maybe looking back when you look at your younger self that you could give them in terms of growing their brands and overcoming some adversity?
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of the hardest industries to get started in. That you sort of a lot of the time thrown in the deep end and told to swim for yourself. So I guess the first thing is just surround yourself with great people. Surround yourself with great mentors. Learn as much as you can. You know, I still learn from people these days and surround myself with great people. I know you had Jack recently come on the podcast as well. So being around great people will inspire you to get to that level and learn from them and what they did and from their successes and their failures. I think the other thing as well is just be extremely focused. Know where it is that you want to get to and be unwavering in achieving that. So for me, when I started out, I set myself that I wanted to, within 3 months, have 20 clients. And that's all I did. So from the moment I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to the moment I went to bed after my last client at 10 o'clock, whatever it was all driven towards achieving that outcome. And was able to do that, which is a great feeling. I guess probably the only other thing as well with that, and I write about it in the book, and I guess it was another learning experience when I first started in the industry. I was running my personal training business at the same time going to uni, so I was doing training sessions from 5 till 9 and then going to uni all day and then going and doing training sessions until 10 o'clock at night. And I was doing that 6 days a week, and I was getting 4 or 5 hours sleep, if that. And I could do it because I was 18 years old and bulletproof and, indestructible. And one day I was driving home from work and fell asleep at the wheel of the car. And I was lucky enough that the car on the opposite side of the road was alert enough to move over as I veered out of my lane and just side glanced the car and ripped off the wing mirror, and that was it. But I guess for me that was a wake up call that you're not bulletproof, and that you do need to value things like your sleep and your health, and that you've got to draw your own boundaries when it comes to working as well, in terms of what you're willing to do and when you're going to be off.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Yeah, you set a pretty high bar for the people that you employ, the trainers that you bring in. Just to piggyback off what Johnny was saying with the new trainers, what's that minimum expectations that you expect in terms of education and experience before you want someone to come under your banner?
Yeah, so with our business, we've always upheld that the minimum requirement is to have a university degree in sports and exercise science. And with that is the expectation that of someone who can apply themselves for a long period of time in terms of their study and also have a strong grasp of how the body works, not just this is a lunge, this is a push-up, this is a squat, but these are the reasons why we should do that and what's appropriate for someone who has this type of injury or this type of medical condition, because just about every person these days has some sort of special condition that you need to bear in mind when programming. So I guess that's how we've always tried to differentiate our business, is the quality assurance for our clients, that all our trainers are of that minimum expectation. And then we look for individual differences as well. So we've got national level runners, masters in physiotherapy, that these people have that even further knowledge in terms of having a specialty almost.
So your brand, Better Being, you started that years ago, and with each new venture that you do, it's continuously growing. If Tristan and I were investors, and we asked you to pitch us what Better Being is at its most full potential, what would you say?
It's great question. When I started Better Being, I did get offered someone to come in and invest money in the business, and I thought, how good is this? Someone's going to put money in my business and I don't even have a business yet. And at the end of the day, I decided to turn it down after speaking to, again, a few mentors of mine and that sort of sense. And I'm so glad I did, because I would have blown it in so many ways, because that's part of growing your own business, is you make mistakes and you learn from them and you keep going and you evolve. But I guess coming back to your question, that for Better Being, it's enhancing lives through wellness is what we're all about. And we've just chosen to do that with a corporate market, because we know the challenges that people in that world face, and that mental health is on the decline, obesity is on the rise, and that people spend one third of their life at work. And so we need to take responsibility in that. And so we're doing that with personal training, and we're also working with corporations in how you can do that in a workplace setting to make health a stronger part of their work day.
And if we were sitting in a room with 20 other coaches, what separates you from them?
I feel like it's just a job interview, but it's a good question. I think it comes back to my strengths and play to my strengths and being authentic and that's what I always do. I'm no one's perfect. I'm not perfect, and I guess that that's what's always set me aside is even with the book, as I mentioned, for me, my health is no longer about how I look and how big my muscles are and what my body fat percentage is and how much I can bench and deadlift. It's about having me be able to perform in all other aspects of my life is what my health means for me.
How has your training evolved? You know, you just mentioned the bench pressing. You're all, you know, I'm sure both of us, you know, trying to lift as heavy as we can. My training has changed so much over the last 12 months.
The house of Tristan.
But not anymore. You know, I switched a lot more to boxing and just doing things that I enjoy and having fun. And I know, you know, Johnny, you're very, you know, when you're in the gym, your movements are very, very efficient and, you know, you've got a process to it all. Mm. And it's not just about kind of lifting heavy.
Yeah.
Were you a meathead before and has it changed?
Yeah. I think deep down I'm still a meathead, but nothing I like better than getting on the bench press and, you know, busting out some heavy sets. But I think coming back to what you originally said, and that's what a lot of people ask me is, you know, what sort of exercise should I do? What's the best exercise? And the best exercise is always something that you enjoy and something that makes you feel better. And if that's lifting heavy, then lift heavy. If that's going light and moving in multiple directions like you're on a dance floor, then do that. And you know, that can change from day to day. And I think that's with me how the stage that I've got to. Some days I feel like, I want to bust out a heavy bench press and other days I just want to mob and do some stretching and foam rolling and get the body moving a little bit more. And I guess getting more connected to what your body's telling you is the key. And that's what we work with. And again, I've written about it in the book is how do you identify when to push harder and when do you identify to pull back and giving your body that level of movement that it needs and all the other aspects of your lifestyle to that as well. So, I guess when I started off, it was all about having the big chest and the big arms and looking good down at the beach, and then it was all about how much can you bench press, and now it's just what makes you feel good, and I think that's the key.
So running a business, being a coach, calendars, booking people in, thinking about sessions and clients, what are you doing to separate yourself from all that? You know, sometimes I go through these days where I just want to take my computer, laptop, phone, and throw it in the ocean. Just well, share a little bit of insight on when you're going through those moments, and maybe something that works for you to kind of like separate yourself from to grind day to day.
Yeah, and I guess I've spoken before about morning rituals, and exercise can play a really important part. And people then go, "Well, do you exercise in the morning?" But with the nature of our work, that's usually the busiest time for me in terms of appointment. But something I don't compromise on is I create an hour for myself every day. 9 to 10 is what I call Greg hour, where I go and have breakfast, I read the paper, and I plan out my day and collect my thoughts and have that quiet space. And so I don't compromise on that, and I think that that's really important is to create that space for you, and you set your boundaries and sticking to those boundaries. And I guess that's something that I use to slow me down. In the book, I talk about pausing, stopping, and resetting. So the pauses is the daily rituals, such as creating space and mindfulness and breathing and those habits. Stopping is sleep. And again, how do you get good sleep patterns? And then resetting is actually taking holidays and breaks and scheduling your year ahead and not just waiting for time to appear to take a holiday. And it doesn't have to be a massive 3-week European vacation. It can be just a weekend away somewhere. And I think it's really important to create those breaks, whether you're a personal trainer or whether you're a corporate executive, you need to create that space for yourself. And that's when you do your best thinking as well.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you actually brought that up, because I think I see a lot of clients that, and it's something I'll kind of want to get through to them, the fact that you do need those breaks in your everyday life, whether it's every quarter or every 6 months, just to unwind and actually, sometimes reflect on what's actually happened over the last 6 months.
Yeah, that's right. Man. Yeah. Like, I know we're both really into, sensory deprivation. You're flirting a lot with the meditation app, Headspace.
Yeah, Headspace sometimes I use it.
And it kind of like that reset, like you mentioned, that's in the book, it's almost like a necessity daily to be able to sit with nothing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of coaches struggle with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the coffee or the stimulants or the central nervous system or so much that we're required to give away. It's our duty to express ourselves through helping people. And having a system in place, I feel it's not one of those things that are on the front lines when you become a coach. You really, there isn't one of like somebody saying, hey, make sure you do that. Mm. Would that be something that you would definitely tell a young coach from the start?
Yeah, I've had that conversation with several of our coaches around that aspect. And I think the other thing as well is it comes back to finding what works for you. So sometimes people actually find meditation almost a stressful experience, and even though it should be having the other effect, but if it works for you, keep doing that. But for some people, going for a run is quite a meditative experience for them. And if that works for you and that helps clear your mind and you feel energized and reset, then use that as your go-to. But try lots of different things till you find that thing that you can do on a regular basis that works for you.
Yeah, before we move on, I'm just really intrigued about Greg Hour still.
I wrote it down. It sounds simple, but it's something that I need to work on for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, in Greg Hour, is there a lot of journaling, a lot of goal setting?
Yeah, I guess I set out goals during my bigger breaks what tend to chunk it in quarters. What are the sort of things that I'm going to achieve over the next quarter of the year? But I guess it's reflecting on those things and how are we tracking on those things and what do I need to do to get closer to that aspect? What are my top four or five tasks that I need to get complete by the end of this week? And rather than write down the top 50 things that I need to be doing, but what are the ones that are going to give me the greatest return that I need to focus on and prioritize those? So again, it's just that level of consciousness that when we're aware of those things and we're more likely to achieve them, and that's the same with our health.
You mentioned earlier when you started, you had that number 20, the 20 sessions you wanted to get to, and taking you from the 20 sessions to this conversation, let's fast forward. Let's be a visionary real quick. Where do you see yourself, or what do you want to have achieved in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I guess it's not defined as clearly as probably other parts of my life that I've had and have been very definite up to. And I know the direction that we're going in and what we're all about. But I guess where I see it going is continuing to grow that team so that we can influence more people. Whether there's more books in the pipeline there's the growth definitely on the book that, again, I felt like I could do more with the book, and that's why it's good to work with a publisher because they set that deadline of, right, you need to have it done by this date. But I guess there's the constant evolution just to influence more lives through well-being, and that's the path that we're on. And I guess the big thing for us is working with corporations now is something that's becoming more and more part of our work, and that's where we're going to be in the next 5 years, is within companies working with them and their teams to make them better.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up because you've got some great clients, Merivale, PricewaterhouseCooper, a couple of banks are also your clients as well.
Yeah.
How'd you first break into that space? And that, obviously, you're going to have to stand in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. How'd you first go with your public speaking?
Yeah, it's again, it's probably one of those areas that have challenged me the most, but also grown me the most as well. And again, it's nothing more simple than knocking on doors is how we originally got in there. We worked with different smaller groups and got really great success and results, and then that feeds into bigger groups, and you can then talk about those results with other clients about what you've achieved. And yeah, over time we evolved to working with massive corporations, global corporations, and yeah, getting up and presenting in front of thousands of people is nerve-wracking, but I think, again, nerves show that you care. And you know, it wasn't perfect, and it can always be better, but it was definitely a very rewarding experience to get up and be able to talk so passionately about something that you love doing, and giving people the tools to go and implement in their own life. So I guess there's even more opportunities for those in coming years.
Do you want to hit the personality round? Or we got
personality round? No, that's a great segue for it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let me start off.
Yeah, so we've got a personality round. We've got four questions that we'll get in there and get to know Greg Stark a little bit more. Starkey.
Greg Stark. That name rings true. So I'm going to start this off. And we hear a lot and we talk a lot about having good days and advice for morning rituals. Greg, could you share with us maybe some insight when you're having a bad day and something that you know that it's not going your way and something that helps you get through it?
Yeah, I guess that's changed a lot over the years. And for me right now, I guess having my son is definitely how it puts everything into perspective. And I think when you look at resilience is when you keep that perspective on things, some of the issues and things that you might be facing aren't really that relevant. And as soon as I come home and pick him up, he puts my whole world into perspective, and he's definitely, yeah, something that really turns my life around.
Yeah, Jonathan Thurston said something very, very similar. He's just had two little girls, and he said the exact same thing. So yeah. You're in good company.
I wish. You saw me play touch footy. It was definitely nowhere near Jonathan Thurston-esque.
I'll definitely make it. All right, Greg, next question. We're just going to bring you to your childhood. Now, on your bedroom wall growing up, what posters did you have?
There was a few. I mean, I've always been a weekend warrior, a tragic sportsman myself, but cricket was always a big one. So I had Steve Waugh and Ricky Ponting and those guys on the wall, Man United and David Beckham as well. And yeah, they've always been a big one. I guess recently going to mum and dad's, they reminded me on the ceiling, I actually had stars and the galaxy. And I guess that there's always a fascination with that. And I guess if we're going to get really, yeah, philosophical, that we are unlimited in what we can do in life, and yeah, it's a boundless universe out there. So yeah. I guess that's always been a part of the mindset too.
It's crazy to think that we put these limits and boundaries on us, but like you said, and to get philosophical, what I love reading about is what the stress is. You know, we set alarms and we worry about appointments and we worry about things not going our way. Guys listening, we're floating on a rock in the middle of space. Just floating.
Yeah.
Like, do you really, like, does that alarm really matter in the big scheme of things?
Yeah.
You know, so perspective is everything. And those stars on that ceiling, man, is good. It's one of those things. Did it take you to go back to your parents to remember that they were on the ceiling?
I'd almost
forgotten the dark ones.
Yeah, the glowing dark ones.
Yeah, man, I have those as well.
Yeah.
I ended up getting star tattoos in my arms because I've always had a fascination with just looking up.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. So to continue, if Greg Stark's three closest friends were sitting in this room and you weren't in this room, what type of things would they be saying about you?
I think we should call them up and see. It depends on what you wanted from them, whether you wanted the good stuff or the bad stuff. But I think, again, they would probably say about what you see is what you get with me, that the same I am with everyone. I like to think that I'm there for everyone and genuinely care for everyone. And, you know, all my best mates, most of them now are in all parts of the world, you know, one's in London and Singapore and China and all sorts. So again, we don't see each other as much as what we used to, but we definitely still have that connection there. I guess they will always say that I'm the last to leave a good party as well, that I enjoy having a good time. But yeah, it's, I think, so important coming back to surrounding yourself with great people, and I've been fortunate enough to always have those people around me, and they inspire you to go on and do bigger and better things. So I like to think my friends inspire me, and I hope in some ways I've inspired them too.
Yeah, nice answer. This is going to be an interesting last question then. So Greg Stark, you're going to be hosting a private dinner party. The only rules are, so you've got 5 invites, it just can't be any family or friends.
Yeah.
But it can be anyone dead or alive.
Yeah.
Who are you inviting?
Yeah, good question. It's one that we use when we bring on new trainers as well, because it's
the exact same one.
Same one.
That's awesome.
I narrow it down to one person, but there'll be a few. I think Jamie Oliver, I hope to meet him one day. He's been pretty impressive in, you know, how he's been able to create his career and his personal brand in a lot of ways, but and be very authentic to who he is. And now what he's doing in terms of trying to push health forward and make people aware of the traps we're falling into. I think Parkinson would be an interesting...
You're very English influence.
Yeah, I know. It's 2 in a row, actually.
And your wife.
Yeah, I know.
English.
I know. And my old man's English as well. I've got the British passport.
Beckham.
So, it's a good point. But I just think he's interviewed some amazing people over the years, and I'd love to learn from his wisdom. And you know, Muhammad Ali is one of the greatest athletes of all time, and it wasn't so much what he achieved in the ring, but I think what he did outside of the boxing ring, which made him even more phenomenal, and the way that he just engaged people and stood up for what he thought was right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Muhammad Ali would be a great one to have there, but I think Parkinson could shed light on all the different people that he's interviewed over the years. I guess they're probably some of the...
Two more.
Wow. Mm. Two more.
Strict rules,
mate.
Strict.
That's why it's not just one. Yeah. We got to see what's under there.
Yeah.
Under the Iron Man.
Under the Iron Man, yeah. Who else would there be? Yeah, I guess I'll have to come back to, you know, David Beckham and you know, the childhood sports star, just because it would be good to have that. I mean, that's 3 from 3 English. I mean, we may as well take it over to London, this dinner party.
I don't think he gets enough respect for the brand that he's brought.
Beckham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His
branding,
yeah.
Excellent.
His brand's sure. More than his playing ability. Like, yeah. It's unbelievable. He's one of the most marketable people in the world.
This Calvin Klein commercials. Yeah. He's in America. That's when I was like, who is this guy? Is he?
Bless with genetics. Sport. Yeah.
No offense. I just offended half of the people listening.
And marrying a Spice Girl as well, I think, helped
there
him as well.
Go, there you for go. Sure. I think you have one more.
I guess, you know, the business aspect is someone like Steve Jobs as well, in terms of what he achieved at Apple and, you know, the massive adversities that he'd faced over the years, and someone who was just completely focused on changing the world. And he, if we look at today's world, he has changed the world probably more than anyone, what he's been able to do in that technology space. So... And I think he would be a fascinating person to have there as well.
Awesome. Well, Greg, we really appreciate your time today. Before we let you go, where can the people find you both on social media and also your website too, buddy?
Yeah, so our social media is Better Being PT, and the website to purchase the book is betterbeing.com.au/sweatequity. And my personal one is just greg.stark on Facebook and Instagram.
We appreciate your time, Greg, and you brought up Steve Jobs, and some quote I literally just wrote down last night. It's a Steve Jobs quote, so I'll finish it on that, and it really speaks to us and probably yourself as well. If you are working on something exciting that you really care about, you don't have to be pushed. The vision pulls you. And I just think that when I read that, I was like, man, that's what I do sometimes. I'll read it. I hear a quote, I'll just write it down.
Yeah.
That guy is full of them.
Yeah. I mean, I've got ones from him and Branson and... all the greats over the years.
Have you ever heard of Isaac Newton's quote on giants?
About standing on the shoulders of giants?
Yes,
yeah.
That's my favorite. That's probably one of the top. I'm a quote guy. Yeah. Some people resonates with some people. Some people like numbers, I guess. But quotes speak to me.
Yeah.
You've actually had some pretty good quotes in there. We've got a quote ebook that we actually created. I'm pretty sure you're going to end up in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Stage, you plugging sure. it? Where can the people pick that ebook up at?
Well, they can just download it at www.thevisionboardpodcast.com. Free download, and we'll have to update the edition because I think Greg Stark and Jack DeLosa both dropped some bombs this week. So.
Yeah, man, we really appreciate you. You know, local Sydney guy, and we're looking forward to, you know, bigger things ahead, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been great.
Thanks, Greg. And guys, that was Starkey, Greg Stark.
Yeah, the sit down in full effect, had Sweat Equity out in front of us. It was good to get that perspective.
Iron Man.
Yeah, man, he did. Starkey looks like that cover photo, man. He had a good photographer.
Oh, heck.
Greg. Yeah, buddy.
Carved up.
Yeah, man.
He did look good on that cover, though.
For sure. Great shot, man. I like the, you know what? I like what he did with, you know, throwing the testimonials in there.
Mm.
You know, I was. You know, we're both in that industry, and it's good to see. I always like being around like-minded guys.
Days, man. He had Phil Kearns, he had Mark Bosnich, he had Wendell Saylor. Mm, some great
Aussie boys.
Yeah, some great Australian sportsmen right there. So, to show, you know, the people that trust him and is in his inner circle, actually.
Inner circle's a big one, man. That's a key point there that we'll probably touch base on Friday. Also, man, you know, just keep chipping away. You know, keep chopping at that wood, guys, and... sooner or later, a big piece is going to break off.
For sure, guys. So make sure you check out the wrap-up show just to let you know what's going on next week. We've actually got Australia's own Lane Beachley in the house.
Dude, Lane Beachley is a savage legend. The Michael Jordan of women's surfing. We're bringing her to the Vision Board Podcast Studios, 259 George Street, and we're going to share that with you. We can't wait to bring Lane in.
Oh, I can't wait. She's one of my favorite athletes of all time.
She's up there because, the 7-time world champion, six in a row.
Six in a row.
And what she's done, you know, in the water, out of the water, what she's currently doing, she's a testament to a strong, strong woman and what possibilities. She's overcome so many odds.
Oh, big time. To think about the story, we'll touch on that when we bring her in. So guys, just before we leave, if you haven't yet, just your attention to Harley. Harley is one of our friends down at Fitness First George Street in Sydney. At the moment, Harley's been battling brain cancer for 2.5 years, as you might have probably heard over the last couple of episodes. At the moment, the club is rallying behind him as a community. So
beautiful thing, man, to see the club lately, last few days, dressed in red. You know, all the media we're putting out there, it's, you know, it's to help a fellow friend. And guys, you know,
yeah, for yeah. people that aren't in Sydney or aren't part of our gym, we still want you as part of the community. So the best way you can contribute is if you go to our show notes page, we'll have all the links there to his GoFundMe page, or it's www.gofundme.com/Harley_S-beating-cancer-campaign.
Yeah, man. Click that link. If you need more, if you have any more questions, guys, how you could get involved living in Sydney or abroad, send us an email, info@divisionboardpodcast.com.
Definitely. So just remember, it's always about community, guys.
Yeah, man. Keep supporting us. We appreciate you guys.
Okay. We'll see you on Friday for Friday Wrap-Up. We'll be talking a lot about kind of entrepreneurship and maybe circles, the challenges that we both have faced. So I think it's going to be a good show.
Remember to wrap up, guys.
Bye, guys.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are 2 for 2.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.